Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the baptism of our Lord as accounted by the Apostle Matthew in the first book of the New Testament. We're going to approach it today in considering one of the virtues of the Christian faith, and that is patience. Patience in God and trust that the way He would have us do things and the way He carries out salvation for us is the best for us and for all of creation, the best for those He loves. We face many instances of impatience today. In the last year, for instance, we have all been dealing with COVID-19 and the implications it's had on our society. And when it came about and started to spread and our economy shut down and all of these things, there was talk that the response wasn't quick enough, right? And so we should have been more efficient in responding to this new threat. All throughout, the economy isn't opening up fast enough. And finally, now we have a vaccine in storage, and it's not rolling out fast enough. And I think it's very important for us to stand back and to realize that we live in a world that constantly pushes us to want to achieve our goals immediately. And in that aspect, we worship efficiency, getting things done quickly and accomplishing our goals with the least amount of effort and rolling out things as quickly as possible. Now, with that in mind, we jump into our gospel text today. And that Jesus Christ himself comes to John to be baptized. The long-awaited Savior, Messiah, Christ, God, has come into the world in the flesh, and here he is to begin his ministry. He comes to John to be baptized. And John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Except for this, Jesus is sinless. Jesus has no need of repentance. And so John didn't see the point of the ritual. He didn't see the point in baptizing Jesus. He says, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus responds with very appropriate, very fitting words that can be our comfort now and always. He says, let it be so now, for it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. Lots of speculation has gone into the meaning of Jesus' words here. It is fitting or necessary to fulfill all righteousness. Lots of ink spilt, commentaries written on it. But I believe the simplest and most literal interpretation is always the best. Simply put, Jesus is saying, John, baptize me anyway, because it is important to do things the right way. It is important to do things the right way. Well then, what is the right way? The right way to drive a nail is to use a hammer, not your fist. The right way to sand a board is with the grain, not against it. You see, the right way is often assumed to mean the way that is efficient. And in many things, that is the case. Should you use a nail or should you use a screw to bind those two boards together? Well, there's no right or wrong answer. It depends on what resources you have at your disposal and what your end goal is. It's a simple matter of which one will best get the job done with the least effort, the least waste. When John the Baptist says, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? You might think, you might not be wrong, you might think he's just being humble. But there's another sense here as well. There's a sense in which John is saying, why are we wasting time baptizing you? Someone who doesn't need it. when you could be baptizing someone who does. Let's skip baptizing you and just get on with saving me. Let's not waste any unnecessary time or energy. Salvation, that's the real goal anyway, and you don't need it. We do. Now that aspect is not unlike the disciples, when at a later time in the gospel they rebuke a woman for anointing Jesus for burial with expensive perfume. They say, I'll paraphrase the sense, our job is to take care of and to befriend the poor. And we can do that more efficiently with money. Why is this woman wasting this perfume on Jesus? Jesus doesn't even stink anyway. But contrary to all sense of what we think is the best way to go about things, Jesus says she did a good thing, even if it didn't make sense in their eyes. Jesus' teaching that it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness is a great reminder to us that God's ways are not necessarily our ways. And in many ways, God uses, as our epistle today says, he uses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He uses what is despised in the world to shame the strong. And so God uses what is inefficient in our eyes in order to frustrate and shame our impatience and our lust for what we want done already. I'm sure you know one of the reasons that some people refuse to believe in God or to refuse to believe that God is good is because of this idea that what is efficient is always best. And what is not efficient is wasteful. And what I mean is that to be efficient, you must accomplish your goals as quickly and as easily as possible with the resources you have available to you. And if you don't, you're not. And if you're not efficient, you're not good at your job. Well, God has infinite resources to rid the world of evil. And yet it's taken him, so far, what, 6,000 years and he still hasn't done it? Does he not have the right tools available to him? Some people try to defend God for not fixing the world right now by saying, well, you know, we are kind of hard to work with. He's doing the best with what he has to work with. Life gives God lemons, he makes lemonade. Well, God needs no justification for the way he does things. After all, God spoke the universe into existence, but he took his time. 6 days to do what he could have created complete. Why does God take his time? Our time. Doesn't make sense to the way we do things. We want that vaccine rolled out now. Why not? But God's ways are mysterious, and that often means he does things we don't see the point of. And when that happens, we are simply called to accept that God's ways are not our ways. Be still and know that I am God. So the verdict of the faithless is that God is inefficient. He could work faster to rid the world of evil, but he doesn't. And frankly, that's inexcusable. If it's not that he can't do it quicker, it must be that he won't. And if he won't, then he's inefficient. And inefficiency is carelessness. And carelessness is unloving. And unloving is evil. You see, we need to be careful that in our impatience, we don't turn our faith over to this false god of efficiency. Another illustration from the Old Testament. When the Israelites were waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain with a word and help from God, they got impatient. We don't know what's become of this Moses. This isn't working fast enough for us, and we're in real danger out here. Aaron, Make us a golden calf to worship. We hear that graven image gods help us achieve our goals faster than Jehovah. And we want to get out of the wilderness and into the promised land ASAP. And who knows? Who knows? For all they knew, the golden calf was an efficient way to get them to the promised land. But it wasn't the right way. Waiting for God's servant Moses to return first was the right way to fulfill all righteousness before entering the promised land. Maybe John the Baptist didn't think it was the best use of his or Jesus' time and resources to baptize him. But Jesus' simple response is profound. It's that it's the right thing to do. Not because it makes sense to you right now, John, but because it's the way God has ordained it to be, over against your willingness or ability to understand. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. God's ways are not our ways, and his purpose in baptizing his son was not ineffective. It was not useless or a time-wasting ceremony. It was a further revelation that Jesus unites with us in our salvation. He joins us in our baptism because he too was baptized unto the same salvation, even though he is its author. He was baptized before us to show that we will share the same baptism, just as he was resurrected before us, so that through him we may share in the same resurrection. God has a plan. Though he could accomplish it more efficiently and in an instant, according to our eyes, he doesn't. And yet he's still right, he's still good, and he's still holy for delaying his own gratification and ours. He doesn't need any resources to give us grace. Still, he uses the most commonly available resource on the planet, simple water, in order to deliver his promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation through his Son to all who believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.